Week's edition of the Media Lens. Ibrahim Deen, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, so a story we've spoken about before. Tunisia's president last week was given a draft copy of the new constitution. What's the story there?
So, we have spoken about it quite a bit before. We've seen this increasing consolidation of control in Tunisia, by the president, who has actually used the economic situation, to actually empower himself and actually, with reasonable support. You know, what the big thing that happened last week is the fact that, he received the constitution, and it shows that, the situation in Tunisia doesn't seem to be getting better and actually getting worse from a rights perspective. Now, I think, significantly, the Tunisian constitution, the third draft of the Tunisian constitution, or the third iteration of the Tunisian constitution, the first one was from 1959 to the uprising. The second one was from 2014 till now, and this is going to be the third one. The 2014 one was seen as the most, progressive constitution, not just in the Middle East, but probably globally, second only probably to South Africans. It took 2-3 years to draft, very inclusive. This one was actually drawn up by a 78-year-old Ben Ali official, who said he liked. And so it shows how the situation is regressing, but also, constitutional change is very significant because it's not something that just gets undone at the ballot box. The constitution generally stays for, our constitution is now 26 years old. Some constitutions, the Americans are sitting with the same constitution from the 1700s. So it impairs the political situation in a sense, or shapes the political and economic situation and shapes solutions. And, a constitution in the way it currently is being presented and is most likely going to be passed this month, will actually influence Tunisian politics even beyond, say, its death.
How's the media been covering it?
I think it's two things. One is the big issue with the constitution, or the big highlight point that everyone has been looking at, is the fact that the new constitution is going to remove this line or Article 2, which is Article 1, which is Arabic is the language, Arabs are the people, and Islam is the language of is the religion of the country. And the new constitution is removing this this line, which is actually a very harmless line. The Tunisian constitution was actually, or the current constitution was actually seen as I said, one of the most progressive, because it even illegalized what you would call takfirizing. You can't say someone is not a Muslim. And so it was actually, seen very, very progressively because of that. The media has actually been covering this issue more than looking at the constitution, looking at who actually, wrote the constitution. There's probably only two articles on the 78-year-old person who wrote the constitution. It's basically how the new Arab dictators are actually being able to play the media. So you gain good coverage by actually, acting like you are very liberal and very progressive, under the guise, the dictatorship under the guise of this liberalism and progressivism. So, it's seen as rather like, a struggle against supposed, quote, terrorism, unquote, as opposed to the fact that, this constitution is actually consolidating, a person's, control of the political system, and also the restructuring of the system away from a nationalist system to a more regional system, which may not be necessarily be a bad thing, but it's just how it's being instituted and enacted, is the problem.
So what are the implications for Tunisians and for the region?
I think there's a few implications. One is, for Tunisians in general, we're seeing, one is that political parties, Nahda, lasted for the period it did last, was able to build these coalitions, but it seems as if the coalitions, are not really equipped enough to actually withstand, a dictatorial individual. And we're seeing that the protests happen, but there's a few thousand people, because they just can't muster the amount of people need to actually put real pressure on Bayside. The UGTT joined one of the protests a few weeks ago and basically crippled the economy. So if the trade union movement starts joining protests, we may see, some pressure being put on SAID. I mean, most likely the constitution will still pass because, the Ukraine crisis has, taken away much of the focus. I mean, there's very little focus in Tunisia's new constitution, but also the regional countries, your Egypt, your United Arab Emirates, your Saudi Arabia, are very supportive of the current regime and actually are funding it. And so, Qais Saied may not necessarily need as much international help as he's making out to be, and so he's not under so much pressure. In terms of political Islam in general, and that's the big issue with this constitution, because Ennahda was one of the few parties, Islamist parties, that was actually very inclusive, very diverse, very tolerant, very strategic. And it too has been overthrown by a dictator. So, it does point to the situation, what many are saying is that these participatory Islamist parties, when they're next in power, because there will be maybe 30, 40 years, but they will once, return, that they need to not be so inclusive, not so tolerant, because we've seen this in Egypt, we've seen this now in Tunisia, where the moment you start allowing more people in, you actually gridlock the political system, and that actually means there's no change, and you actually lose the popularity. And we're also then seeing, the very reactionary region politics is actually now, superseding the situation. So, Saudi Arabia and the United Emirates are basically now the two strongest parties in the region. Between 2011 and 2013, this wasn't the case. And any other party or any other state or political system that doesn't actually have to, now accommodate them. We saw Erdogan, Mohammed bin Salman last week visit Erdogan, being allowed to visit because, the AKP is struggling economically, and Erdogan has actually, enacted a few undemocratic and authoritarian, policies in Turkey. So we're seeing this unification of the monarchical instead, the monarch in the Republican states, and actually the undermining of the actual population, and that seems to be continuing in at least the short term.
Ibrahim, shukran for your time. We'll talk again next week, inshallah.
Shukran for having me.
That was this week's Media Lens with Ibrahim.